Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey, Terry. So what we've got on the agenda today?
Well, we've got some really interesting news from Best Friends Animal Sanctuary.
Oh, this is so very cool.
This
we love
really
them
cool.
so much.
They just put out an article about one of Michael Vick's former fighting dogs.
And this is Ray.
This is Ray, yeah.
Oh.
And he was deemed by quote-unquote authorities as being unteachable or untrainable.
Which means in most of the world he would have been put down.
Correct.
But that didn't happen.
No, and that just goes to prove that the experts often aren't.
Yes, you're here to that.
Because Ray just got his canine good citizenship.
I love that. Well, I read the article too, Terry, and it was wonderful because when he got to Best Friends, he was just a goober. He was all over the place, had no self-control. But I have to say, they must have fabulous trainers because they've just worked him through all of it. And the photos of him online are fabulous. Yeah. He is making eye contact with the woman who's handling him in that photograph, which is what you want every dog to do. I mean, he's just like right there, spot on. I'll do anything you want, and now I'm going to go find my forever home.
Yeah.
Man, I think it's just the best ending.
It was amazing. The pictures and the videos, it was just wow.
Yeah. So, you know, listen to that, folks. Oftentimes, dogs get labeled. And it's not always an accurate label, so give a dog a chance.
Yeah. He just needed some guidance. He wanted something to do.
He did. You know, young dog, wired for sound. We all have dogs like that, don't
yeah.
we, Terry?
Yeah, Surrey, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Yes. Cody, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And so for him to have fallen into the right hands is kind of a miracle, and I think it's a pretty good Christmas miracle.
Yeah. Yeah, it was phenomenal. I was really happy to see that.
Yep. So go, Best Friends.
There
y'all
you go.
Rock. Y'all rock. Okay, what else?
We've got an update on Oreo's Law.
All right, so Bark Radio listeners, Terry's been really keeping up with this, me not so much, so he's going to update all of us. Why don't you first, Terry, give folks a little preface how this all started?
Well, Oreo was a pit bull terrier pup. 6 months old, maybe a year old, actually, I think it was, and was badly abused by its owner. This dog was beaten for better than 30 minutes, and the neighbors were calling the cops because the dog was just, I mean, this guy was abusive. He took the dog to the roof of their apartment building, 6 floors up, and threw the puppy off onto the ground to kill it.
I don't even have a comment. Okay,
well,
go on.
I have some, but
well,
I can't do it on the show.
Yeah. Okay, so continue the story.
So, well, this is the Reader's Digest version.
Right.
But the dog survived, and the ASPCA intervened to take the dog, and they filed charges against the person, and he hasn't gone to court or anything yet. They went through surgery with the dog, and the dog survived. However, it was, they deemed it dangerous. I think it was irritable based on the fact it was hurting and in a cage and in a strange
beaten.
Environment. Yeah. And so they decided to put it down after they went through all the surgery, after they went through all the fundraising and raised many thousands of dollars for the support of this dog. They decided to put the dog down.
And it wasn't for lack of a place for this dog to be rehabilitated, correct?
Correct. There was a local no-kill shelter that worked with hard case dogs, specialized in it, and they offered to take the dog. It wouldn't cost the ASPCA any money. They were just going to take the dog and they were going to work with it, and they said no, and they euthanized him.
Okay, yeah, this is so wrong on so many levels, and Terry is going to update us on this, but, you know, folks, if you're in the mood to do a letter writing thing, you know, write to the ASPCA and tell them they're wrong, that they shouldn't have killed Oreo. I mean, that's just nonsense. Sorry, I had to think about what I was going to say because this is PG. But it's so wrong on so many levels. So, Terry, now what's going on with this, and is there something good going to come of it?
Well, we hope so. So there's a proposal in New York for Oreo's Law, and Oreo has gotten a lot of attention. So if anything from this disastrous issue, if Oreo's Law goes through and other states pick it up, it will say that a dog, especially dogs who have been abused, but not just, if they are sick or injured or have been traumatized in some way. They can't just be euthanized if there's a shelter willing to take them.
Oh, how much sense does that make? That gives me chills.
Right. So it's broader than just an injured dog, but it does address... It's a very long law, typically, right? But there's Reader's Digest versions of it out there, and there's plain English versions of it, and we'll put the link up for the people to read that.
Oh, we have to. That's an awesome law.
That's a big step towards a no-kill nation.
Yeah.
And now, of course, the ASPCA says it's a bad idea. Go figure.
Oh, I can't imagine why they'd say that. They're the ones who, like, killed the dog.
Yeah. But there's a lot of support for this. And because, I mean, there was a huge amount of outrage in the animal community, as you might imagine, about this. And it's interesting to watch what they're saying now. So what the focus is to see what shelters and organizations support this law and which ones don't.
Oh, yes, we should have a list. And on the left are the good guys, and the right are what's your problem, guys.
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't you support it?
Yeah.
I think this I hope this passes. It could make such a huge difference long term. And like you're saying, that whole no-kill concept.
The whole no-kill nation, which, I mean, going back to Best Friends, they're the grassroots effort behind no-kill. I mean, that was 25 years ago that they said, hey, we don't have to do it that way.
So fast forward, and now we need Oreo's Law.
And now you need Oreo's Law. And there is a law in California that's similar. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's exact, but there's some similarities there. So it's not like they're the first state, but they're certainly pushing it to the next level, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it.
So now, when is this going to be decided one way or the other, whether this is put into law in New York?
It's with the Senate. It's been drafted. Okay. So I don't know when the end date is. I'm sure that it's... the site that we'll put up is from Nathan Winograd, who's a pretty big animal advocate, and he's got... Actually, he's a reformed lawyer.
I love it.
So he's got all of the documents, and that's where I've been following it through his stuff.
Fabulous. So we'll hook people up with that site.
Exactly.
Excellent. So now I'm going to have to read it, because I want to read the plain English version. So
yeah, you have to.
and I hope that there's an easy way, like a link from there, to maybe just voice our support of it, like, to the New York legislators.
Yeah. There are. There's
really,
links
really
up
need
there
to do that.
And I would be surprised if there's not some canned letters that you can customize to fit your personality type, I guess, for lack of a better phrase to put that into.
Well, so folks, we will put links up. Let's all, we kind of feel like most people who listen to us are real huge dog lovers, and there are probably a lot of you out there who are a little crazy about it, like we are. But if all of us could just pop an email, write a letter to the folks in New York and say we support Oreo's Law, at least we've done that teeny tiny bit to make Oreo's death not for nothing.
Right. Yeah, I suspect it'll pass. I'd be surprised if it didn't, because of the outrage behind this.
Right. It's an easy one to pass, and they'll get a lot of attaboys for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we know politicians love attaboys.
Oh, they're doing it for our good.
Oh, yeah, right. Please reelect me.
That's a different discussion. That might be a different show.
Yes. So we won't go there today. But, yeah. So, folks, Oreo's Law, learn about it, support it.
Yep. We'll have the link up so you guys can read all about it in case you don't know.
And now Terry has some cool stuff that he got this week. Woohoo!
Well, if you're on the East Coast, once you get into the fall and the time changes, by the time 5 o'clock rolls around, it's dark.
Yep.
And pooches need walking still.
Yep.
So we went on a quest to find some reasonably priced lighted dog
stuff.
Equipment. Yeah,
light those dogs up.
Light them up, exactly. And found one company that we like. There's a store actually locally that carried them, and the company's called Night Dog.
Cool.
And they make collars and leashes and tags with super bright LEDs. They're battery powered. They support flashing and constant on and all this. They're all the same from that perspective, but they're pretty reasonably priced and they're reasonably bright.
And are they water resistant, do you know?
Water resistant. I don't think any of them are proof.
Right, they're not going to be, but water resistant's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got a really cool leash.
Got a cool
leash.
That's lit. All the way down, well, maybe half or three quarters of the way down its lip.
Cool. Okay.
The only drawback to it is it only comes in a 5 foot length, and I don't like a leash that long.
Right.
But you know, we're only using it at night. It's only for certain times of the year, so we manage.
Right.
The other thing that we found, and we found this at a store called Five Below, which is an odd lot type store, and I don't know if they're, you know, how big they are, but they're basically a dog collar with three lights on it.
And big honking oval
big
lights.
Honking LED. Well, they got three LEDs per lens.
Wow.
And they're super bright. These were $5.
Wow.
So we picked up two of them. Now they have quirks, and that's why they're that's why they're in the store they're in, is because they have quirks. And if you jostle them really hard, they turn off.
But then you poke them again, and they
poke
come
them
back
on,
and
they come right back on. It's just the switch is sloppy.
Right.
Cool. So I actually because it's a collar, I put this on my arm. Vicky puts one on her arm, and then
so
we
you
have
guys
the
are visible as well as the leashes.
Right. And
very cool.
So that works pretty well, and it's fairly inexpensive.
And so when Terry showed me this cool stuff, when I was in search and rescue, we had a variety of ways to be seen at night. One thing to keep in mind, probably the cheapest way to go is to get reflective tape. And you can slap that on you, on the back of your jacket or your shoes. You can probably not slap it on your dogs. It's probably not a good idea. But we always
wouldn't like that.
No, but we always had backpacks. We put it on, that sort of thing. But we also had lighted collars. And they're available, all kinds of varieties of them online. But our dogs also wore vests. And on the back of most vests, there's a place that you can fasten, what are those light sticks called? Psylum sticks?
Yeah, the ones you just break.
Right,
and
you
they
break and they're lit.
Yeah.
You can tie one of those to the back of the vest. And you can get vests, you know, just regular vests that are reflective or have reflective material on them at places, at the big box stores, the big pet stores.
Right.
So there are lots and lots of options. But the key piece of this, you guys, is to remember that you are invisible at night.
Yeah.
And you don't want somebody's headlights hitting you and causing an accident because they try to avoid you or they don't try to avoid you and, oh, ouch. So make yourselves visible. It's really, really important. Another thing that I think is kind of cool that we used a lot in night training and night searches were headlamps. And that's cool when you're walking dogs or working dogs because they're hands-free.
Yeah.
And
that's a good idea. I thought about that.
Yeah, that's a handy-dandy one from Search and Rescue. Go SAR. So I think that's most of the lighted stuff I know about. But just be safe because you don't want to stop walking your dogs because it gets dark early. It's good for them.
Well, especially if you have high energy dogs.
If you have a cattle dog, keep walking at night.
Even a couple walks a day isn't enough.
Oh, never will be.
No.
So, through these long winter months when it gets dark so early, it's just like when y'all are taking a walk, you know, just keep your doggy safe. And one of the things you might think about, you guys, is depending on where you live and whether you have sidewalks, whether you don't, what the traffic is like, you might pay more attention to which side of you walk your dogs on.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, you know, if you're walking, let's see, if you're walking the wrong way on a suburban street, so left, heel the dog to the left, so they're not out in the traffic. Maybe if they normally walk ahead of you a bit, it's maybe a better idea to keep them a little more controlled and you walk a little bit faster for their benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Just so there's not that somebody coming around a corner and not seeing you until it's too late and your dog is out in the road, you know? And that's kind of how I walk my dogs anyway. I always kind of walk them in my neighborhood assuming the worst.
Yeah.
And just trying to keep them safe. Another thing that I've worked with them a lot on, and it's kind of funny to see me walking a 70 and a 90-pound lab together at heel. But what I've taught them to do is when a car approaches, I have them sit. And I have, it's like yard or sidewalk, or no, it's yard because we don't have sidewalks. Somebody's yard, dogs, me. So I'm on the outside, so I'm keeping them as safe as I can.
We do the same thing. Even here, our subdivision's pretty low traffic. It's just a sleeping area. Sleeping subdivision.
Right.
Excuse me. But the car is coming you know, we get them in the grass and sit.
Yep.
Most of the time they sit.
We work toward perfection. We don't always get it.
We try to get them to sit. Sometimes Sparky looks at me like, no.
Not so much. The grass is wet and I'm not putting my butt on it. Thank you very much.
Sparky's very delicate.
Really? And he looks like such a tough boy. But guys, just think outside the box a little bit and think of the worst case scenario and how you can keep your dog safe when you take him out at night. And with that,
I think that's an episode.
We will wish you a fond adieu. Bye.
Bye.